morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. It's a beautiful Lord's Day morning. We're so glad to have you in our worship service. It's so encouraging to see you here and see you so faithful. We just welcome you, and may the Lord bless you in a great way as we worship together. God is so good, and God is always ready to help and meet our needs. I want to share a thing. This being Father's Day, I have this little thing I come across, and it says, you know, that once a year we celebrate fathers. Maybe you are one. Let me give you a challenge. One father said, if I had to do all over again, I'd love my wife more in front of my children. I'd laugh with my children more. I'd listen more even to the youngest child. I'd be more honest about our weaknesses and stop pretending perfection. I would pray definitely for my children. I would be more encouraging and bestow more praise. And finally, if I had it to do over again, I would use every ordinary thing that happened in every ordinary day to point them to God. I thought that's pretty good. Well, we welcome the fathers on a special day, but it's always a special day when the church comes together to honor our Father, our Heavenly Father, our Father, as Jesus said, our Father which art in heaven. And so we come before him with blessings this morning. I want to share a few words here from Psalms 89, and it reads like this. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built upon forever. Thy faithfulness shall be established in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. For the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness, also in the congregation of saints. For who in the heaven can compare unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had reverence of all them that are about him. We come this morning reverently before this great and wonderful God, our Heavenly Father. Let's praise him together.
For hymn worship this morning, you use number 60, and first and fourth verse, and Virgil, however, it's all ten.
Oh, worship the King, oh, glorious above, and gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, prevailed in his splendor and girded with praise. Frail children of dust and people.
Now for communion hymn, we use the number 158, sing the first and fourth verse. I can't but lost.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come to this time to bring a portion of our earnings back to you, Heavenly Father, to contribute to the church, to the kingdom work. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for all the good gifts that you give to us, and we pray, Heavenly Father, you'll take this as a good gift from to you. Heavenly Father, that it be used for those spreading the gospel here in this community, benefit of the church, Heavenly Father, to just to honor you, Heavenly Father, with giving you thanks for blessings that you give to us day by day, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, a couple of things to share with you this morning, and there would not be any Bible study tonight on this Father's Day, and some of the folks is traveling different places, so we'll pick back up next week on that. And hey, we have a birthday this week. That's just a few days off, Mr. Bergen. We missed you, Mr. Bergen, last week, and we're glad that you're here with us. And let's see, where's Virginia? She's back today. She's missed 2 weeks in a row, Virginia. That's not usually, is it? And Pauline's able to be with us. And so we see the Lord is blessing our people. He's giving us strength and health and so forth. I always forget somebody that has been ill and been out. But we're glad that you're here. I don't know of anything else taking place that to share with you, but we turn to our prayer list and continue thinking about them and be reminded of each one. I won't go down the list, but we want to encourage you to always look. This Levi DeLippo, he came home last week, did he? Donna, did you see?
Yes, he did.
He came home.
And he's waiting.
And so doing a little bit better, so we praise the Lord for that. And we see things happening in people's lives, and we see God working, and it's great. And so each one on our prayer list, keep them in your hearts, your minds, and keep them in your prayers. Certainly our nation as leaders, our care homes, and keep them in mind. And Dale was in the hospital last week, and he was transferred over to the signature. And then last night, though, he was taken back to the hospital. And so keep by and Dale in your prayers there. Certainly in needing of strength. And I was hoping when I was there yesterday, I was hoping that that was going to be a real good thing for him, that he would then get some help and get some rest, and that she would then be able to be able to rest some, because they were just caring for each other and themselves, and they were just worn down and tired and just really tired, and they need rest. And so we pray that the Lord will just give them rest, and he knows what's best, and he'll do that. And so, again, we have folks in our congregation. I look around and see the needs in people's lives here and the need of God's helping hand. And as we look to him this morning, we know that he hears our prayers, and he will work. And if we will just dedicate our lives and our service to him, good things will come, and that's just natural. And we're glad that you're a part of this congregation this morning. If you have a need, we pray that the Lord will meet that need. The Lord will strengthen you. If you had need healing, we pray that he will grant you healing and strength to do those things that you need to do day by day. I share with you from last week, some of you is on my email thing. I got a pretty good report last week. Went to the doctor, had the echo the week before last, and so Monday we went there, and he's scratching his head again. And he says, don't know what's happening here. This doesn't usually happen.
And he says, the measurements, we can't tell whether there's any difference in that or not. And he says, it's like sawing a pipe in two. If you saw it all straight, you get a measurement there. He said, but if you make a little bit of angle, it could be a little different measure. But he said, I can't, it's not enough for me to be able to tell. And so he said, it could be changed a little bit and not. He said, I can't really tell. But he says the leakage isn't as bad as it was. Amen. He said, I don't understand that. But we understand it, don't we? Amen. We know. But he said, I don't know what to do with you, really. But he said, give me a few more minutes. And so he got his partners in there, and he said, we got 100 years of experience here. And so they went over it again. He said, I've been working on this ever since I got the report back. He said, I just not sure. And so anyway, long story short, all these, the three of them, four of them, actually another one there. And they said, well, let's go three more months and see what happens. And so hopefully then there won't be any leakage. But God is good, and you know, and I appreciate so much your prayers. And that's why I encourage you, you know, boy, seek God, you know. I just pray every day. I say, Lord, I want to be like the lady with the issue of blood. I just want to touch the hem of your garment. I want this to be cleared up, made whole. And, you know, it's, Maxine, she can tell you more about what the guy said. But, I mean, he's scratching his head. Tina back there knows all those doctors there. And, he's the best there is in there, Tina, as far as I understand. And you know, isn't that great? God will guide you. He didn't guide you to the fly by night, to the best there is. And when the best there is scratching your head, you know, we got somebody better working on that, you know, amen. So let's just pray. God, may God bring good news to each and every one of you people. And for all these people on the prayer list, may the Lord bless them in a wonderful way, and they can just shout hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. Our nation and the president and the vice president and those in leadership, be in prayer for them. We have so much to be thankful for. Yet there's needs in people's lives, and you know the needs of different ones. Pray earnestly for them, will you, as we come to our prayer time.
For a prayer hymn, we're using number 176, seven all verses, and you, I'll get it right there, and have a prayer. That's all I'm saying.
Without it, my good be dreaming. Life is a ship without.
thank you for the many blessings of life you give us. I'm thankful for all the participation in our service today as we lift up your spirit of truth and song. And guide us and direct us, Father, whatever we do and say. And forgive us where we do fail. For these things we pray in your Son, heavenly name. Amen.
The invitation hymn be number 325, 325. Prayer and help bring us.
Still amazed that Jesus would pay a debt I could not afford.
I never got past that I'm free at last from sin that made me a slave. I still feel as much as when he first touched me. Oh yes, I'm still
Kathleen and choir. We appreciate week by week, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, their special effort and special music. Thank you so very much. Ben's Father's Day, I'll tell you a father's tale story of a father who is really distraught. These four fathers were in the hospital waiting room and they were waiting their wives to give birth. Nurse came out and said, "Congratulations, you had twins." And the fellow said, "That's interesting." He said, "I play ball for the Minnesota Twins." Directly, a nurse came out and said, "Congratulations, you have triplets." He said, "Well, you know, that's interesting." He said, "I work for the 3M company." Wasn't long, a nurse came out and said, "Congratulations, you had quadruplets." And he said, "Well, that's something." He said, "I work for four-season hotels. And the fourth guy, they looked over, and he's sitting over, and he's a mumble, and he's knocking his head against the wall. And I said, what's the matter? He said, Well, I work for 7-Up. Yeah, distraught man. Well, what I was going to do this morning is to get you people to take a vote on the men, the fathers here, and see who could be awarded the Father of the Year award. And I thought, no, we can't do that. We can't pick out people like, because, you know, we have our fathers here at the Porter Christian Church are the greatest fathers in Kentucky. They all deserve awards. But I thought about the scripture, and I thought, the Bible's full of stories of men and women, and faithful men and women. And they're recorded there, and their intent to is to challenge us, really. To inspire us, to encourage us, and even sometimes warn us of our faith journey. And they are meant to encourage and to us regardless of what the world throws at us. And living in this culture we live in today, we need that encouragement. We need that help. We need some examples that we can look to and to be able to ride through these turbulent storms that we go through in this life. In fact, but there's a chapter that has men and women in, and that's chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. And it lists some of the men and women whose lives were intended to be a source of inspiration for us. And as we look at them, we see a great number of them here. And so they're to help us, really, these men and women. They help us as a church, as we see their lives and what they've done. And it helps us as a church, and it helps us personally too as we read about them and see what's happened, see what God has done with them, for them, and so forth. And in the book of Hebrews, you know, it starts out and by faith pleasing God, but then I look in the fifth chapter and there I find Enoch and go on down, there's Noah, and then I go over here into the hall of faith, there it says, and I find Baruch and Gideon. I find Abraham in here. I find Moses back over here in verse 24. And there's Rahab. There's women and men and so forth in that chapter. And they're put there for a great reason. And not that they're perfect. And just like us, they're not a perfect person in here. Every one of us has flaws of some kind or another. What makes us perfect is the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day he's going to come for us and he will perfect us all. And there will be no ills and spills and no problems with us then. It's all going to be in God's glory. But looking at these, if you were to look in here and you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all these, who would you vote for there to be the Father of the Year, to receive the Father of the Year award there? You know. And if you're going to pick from the men of the Hall of Fame here, which one would you pick? I don't know about you, but I like being a father. And as most of you know, we have four daughters. And I like that, you know. And I've said it before because, you know, and I'm like everybody else. I'd like to have a son, but I'm not displeased. I'm not crying about it. I'm just so happy to have four daughters. And but them four daughters sheds love on you that them boys probably wouldn't. And maybe them boys would give me more trouble than my girls. I don't know. But I'm just so glad to be a father and have the four daughters there. And, you know, some of you have boys and girls, and some of you just have boys, some just have girls. But if you have mixture, whatever, you know, being a father is a great responsibility, isn't it? Regardless of whether it's boys, girls, or whatever. And I've said before, you know, I'm so glad that our girls is up. And going, our youngest grandchild now is 16 years, got her driver's license, got her driver's license complete last week or so. And boy, that's bad. And we got two young ones now 16 years old, and one boy and one girl grandchild, and they're driving now. Oh boy. And so I've said before, I said, boy, I'm glad ours is growing up. And, you know, I hate to go through that again with all the things that's out there. But God would bless you regardless. And it's just great to be fathers and to be able to reproduce a child that will look to God and so forth and honor God. It's so great, you know. And so in this modern culture that we're living in, where anything goes, and it doesn't matter what, and doesn't matter what the secular media says, real fathers really matter. Real fathers really matter. You know, you hear all these riots and so forth, and they talk about this one matters and that one matters and so forth, and a lot of that is really serious and good. But I tell you one thing, real fathers really matter. And if it wasn't for the real fathers that we had in this nation, our nation would go pulgui. This, in this culture that we live in, thing when everything goes and so forth. Let me ask you, do you know this? And I wrote this, copied this down. Do you know that 90% of homeless and runaway children, 63% of the youth who commit suicide, 80% of all rapists, 85% of children with behavior problems, 71% of all high school dropouts, 75% of all teens in chemical abuse centers, 85% of all youth in prison, 70% of all girls that become pregnant in teens. Do you know what they all have in common? They all come from homes where there's not a dad, not a father, not a loving father in that home. I know there's been a number of women who have been forced to raise the children and so forth and has faced with the care of their children, and they've done a great job in doing so. But that does not diminish the importance of a father, a loving father in the house at all. Hey, folks, that's what God created this world for, wasn't it? That's the way God created family, wasn't it? Mom and dad raising the kids, having a good time, and just glorifying God in all the things they do with them. But let's get back to what I want to vote for. I want to share with you who I would vote for here out of this Hall of Fame, who I would say that raise him up, and he is the candidate for the award of being the Father of the Year. I wouldn't vote for Adam. Now, Adam's not listed. You know, some of you folks in our Bible study, I talked a little bit about Adam, and I hope I'm wrong. But Adam's not listed in the book of Hebrews. I don't know why. But I wouldn't vote for Adam. You know why? Adam had, he had two sons, and one of them killed the other. Adam didn't do something right there. And, you know, faithful Abraham, I wouldn't vote for Abraham either. I wouldn't say Abraham was a candidate for Father of the Year. You know why? Because he run off his teenage son. Run him away. Sent him out in the desert with his mother. And you know, he just walked out of that teenager's life and never seen him again. Now, as much as I admire Abraham, I wouldn't vote for him to be Father of the Year. No. Aaron. You know Aaron, don't you? Aaron is that Moses' brother, the guy that built the golden calf, you know? And, well, he wasn't too good either because he led his, I guess the lack of his parents' skill led to the death of his two sons. Isaac. You know, there's Isaac. He made it very obviously that he loved one of his sons better than the other. I wouldn't vote for him because he was showed partiality, and he loved Isaac more because he was hairy and he lacked to go hunting and have animals and so forth. And his brother Jacob desired to stay home, and that brought a hatred between those brothers. And then Jacob there, I wouldn't vote for Jacob either because, you know, Jacob unfortunately fell right into his father's trap. Because you know the story of Jacob, he showed favor to his son Joseph, you remember, had the coat of many colors. And so he fell right into his father's same ploy there. Samuel, a great prophet, Samuel. He doesn't fit my thinking for Father of the Year either. Great prophet. And he was so permissive. And he let his boys just do whatever they wanted to do. And didn't correct them from anything. And they grew up and they became accepting bribes, and they perverted justice. And as much as I love David, the psalmist David, I wouldn't vote for him either. He just doesn't fit my thinking of Father of the Year. He had a lot of sons from many different women. And that's not good at all. David didn't discipline his sons. And it's a terrible story when you read on that side of it. The lack of discipline in his sons caused one of his sons seek to kill him. And what heartaches they had. My favorite one that I find that I would vote for to be the Father of the Year, to receive the Father of the Year award, would be in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to saving of his house, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and become heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Well, I gave you reasons for I wouldn't vote for a group of men there. But did you catch the reason that we would vote for Noah? One thing he did there, he saved his family. That's what it says. By faith, knowing, been warned of God of things not seen, and yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Saving of his family. I vote for Noah. Noah knew that God's judgment was coming. If you read more of the passage there, you'll see it very plainly. Noah knew that God's judgment was coming, and he prepared to save his household. Now, I could go off on that, couldn't I, and use that for today. God's judgment, listen, fathers, God's judgment is coming. Have you, are you, will you prepare your household for that? Noah knew back in Genesis, in chapter 6, I read, and about Noah here, and let's see, I want to start with what Noah knew. Verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make then an ark and gopher wood. Rooms shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without, and pitch it. And then down in 18, verse 18, and he says, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, and thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives and thee. And of every living thing, all flesh, two of every thou shalt bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee, shall be male and female. Noah knew, and Noah prepared. And Noah saved his family. That is why I vote for Noah. Dads, we must understand something. There is great danger out there in this world. We look back at Noah and we probably can't see what the danger really is back there. They were just disobedient to God. That's what the scripture says. And when we look at today, there's a tremendous danger for our children. And Omer, he's 90 years old, but he's got a son sitting there too. He's still your son, Noah. Noah. Noah, you got to keep him corrected. No, you don't. He's the good man. But regardless of how old you are and how old your children are, they're still your children. And if you're 90 years old and you've got a son that's 50 years old and he's not ready to meet the Lord's judgment time, better work on it. It's coming. Noah prepared his house. He saved his house from God's destruction. So we must understand the real danger that's here. I mean, look around us, and it's so plain to see the danger that's out there. Not only for teenagers, it's for middle-agers, it's for 50-year-olds and so forth. They get caught up in all this stuff that destroys their life, destroys their family. We as fathers need to prepare our house against those things of Satan. It says, God will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished. And that's 2 Thessalians 1:8-9 says this for sure. They will be punished with everlasting destruction, shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of the might. You know, one of the saddest things that comes to my mind, and I pray for my daughters every day, and one of the saddest things that comes to my mind is the thought that one of my daughters miss out on meeting the Lord and inviting him to heaven. That would be devastating to know that one of your children is not going to reap eternal life in heaven with God. That ought to behoove us to live our lives and to share and to encourage our children to honor God, to honor God. I sometimes just hate to say things because you think I'm boasting that I'm not. But when I say those things, it kind of seems like maybe I'm boasting. It's just to encourage you. And you know, I'm like Job. You remember what Job said? When Job went to God in prayer, and I use that every day in my prayer. And Job said, Almighty God, If my family has sinned in any way, please forgive them. Please forgive them. Fathers, we need to pray for our children every day, regardless of who they are, where they are, what they're into, what they haven't done, what they did do, what the wrongs was in, what's rights with them. We need to pray. Father, my 60-year-old daughter. Father, my 16-year-old granddaughter. If there's any sin in our family, God, forgive us of it and cleanse us and help us to honor you. Yeah. Keep them before God, friends. Fathers, keep those children. Keep those grandchildren before the throne of grace. Amen. Amen. What good is it if your son or your daughter, as Jesus put it, gains the whole world and lose their soul? I'm so happy, I'm so thankful, I'm so pleased that our daughters, each one of our daughters, lives in a better house than we do. They have better cars than we do. They have better things than we have, many things than we have. I'm thankful for that. God has blessed them. But if they did not know God and had all those things, I wish they wouldn't have them. I would rather see my children living in the little old cottage with a path and a well. I'd rather see that than see them go to hell. But God is good. And God bless us. and God is good. So regardless of what stage your children's in, they need to know God. And fathers, it's up to us to make sure that our children knows God. Make sure they know of God. We need to have much greater concern for our kids and our walk with God than anything else. Young people today, my heart goes out to them. They are so encumbered with the cares of the world, and they're so pressured by the everything that happens. And you know, but listen, which means the most? Your child and a relationship with the Lord Jesus, or their exceeding in sports? Which is the most important? Sports is important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking that. But listen, when they become more important for your child and more important to you and your child than him knowing or her knowing the Lord. Well, you know, what college they go to, what they enter into, you know. Listen, dads who save families dare to be different. Can you imagine the difference that was in Noah and the people of the world? Noah had to be different. We talked here a few weeks ago about dare to be a Daniel. But listen, there's a man, Noah, was different from the world. Genesis 6:9 says, Noah was a righteous man, blessed among people of his time. And here's why. The last set verse. And he walked with God. And he walked with God. So dads, will you, like Noah, dare to be different? Will you walk with God that will lead your children to that righteous one? This is the account of Noah and his family. 6:9. Genesis 6:9. And listen to what he says. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, a perfect in generation, and Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. Fathers, walking with God is the most definitely not something that will just happen. You know, you're not going to wake up some morning and just be mature in faith. Fathers, to walk with God, one has to put forth effort. Great effort. It's not going to be an accident. It's not going to be by chance. You're just not going to simply wake up and, boy, be full of faith. But, you know, God really desires for us to walk with Him. That was one of God's first desires of mankind, wasn't it? If you look back in Genesis 3, you'll find that was the first thing that God really had in mind. He created Adam. He created Eve, and why did he do that? So he could come down in the Garden of Eden and with the cool of the day walk with them. Genesis 3, God came down in the cool of the day and walked with them. That's the greatest desire that God has for mankind, to walk with you. And it says Noah walked with God. It's not easy, that's for sure. But you know, when God walked with Adam and Eve, that must have been really cool. It had to be the sweetest time of the day when God came down and walked. But then one day came the tree of fruit. the serpent, the lies, the sin, the fall. And so the result of that, everything that was natural, everything that was easy, become unnatural and become laboriously. The bottom line is, Dads, in order for us to have a solid walk with God, we're going to have to really want it. I can remember when I first really come to grips that I wanted the Lord in my life, that I wanted to be a Christian, that I wanted Jesus to have my life. I'd thought about it sometime. But until I really come to the grips that I really want it, did I ever get it? And it didn't come easy. You see, because good things doesn't come easy. If you really want to walk with God, you have to pursue it. If you want a good education, you have to pursue it. If you want a good vocation, you got to pursue it. If you want a good job, you got to pursue it. How many of you fellas remember pursuing your wife? How many of you fathers still pursue your wife? Made effort. Had to do something. Had to go for it, you know. And that, you know, really wasn't the proper language or proper term to say, but when I come to want Jesus, I said, Jesus, I want to go for what you got. And I don't think it's a bit wrong to want what Jesus has, because Jesus simply says, I come and I give. And he just like God wants, desires, and Jesus desires to give to you what he has. Come unto me and I'll give you eternal life. Come unto me and I'll bless you, he says. Come unto me and I'll make your work easier. Come unto me and I'll make your labors easy, you know. Take up on me my yoke and learn of me, he says. It's for taking. You have to pursue it. You have to go for it. Listen to what God says when you walk with him. Jeremiah 29:11. I could turn to that, but I'll just read it because I got it wrote out here. 11:14 said, for he says, I know my plans I've got for you. You know, God has plans for you, you know. That's one of the things that I finally caught. You know, I thought I had plans. And I was making plans for my family and so forth. And then I come to realize God had a plan for me. And this is what he says in Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, or to make things work out for you, is what he's saying there. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Pursue him. Seek him. Look for him. You will find him. He promises that, and I will be found of you. If you seek God, if you pursue, if you really want to know, he will make himself known. And he says, and I will be found, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, I will bring you again into a place of whence I caused you to be carried away. So if a person has been carried away from God, God has simply said, come back, seek me, pursue me, look for me, you'll find me, and I'll take you out of that. I'll lift you out of that. So many people have gone astray. So many of our young folks have gone up in things, and God is saying, look to me. Look to me and I'll see, I'll hear. Call upon me. And I believe fathers plays a great part there. You fathers, us fathers, need to pray unto God for our children, that they will seek him and they will experience the loving hand of God. As I close, let me close with this. Do you know, fathers, let me ask you this. When I look at Noah here, and Noah worked 120 years. Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Sam and Ham, so forth. He's an old man. Do you think, you know, that you could stay motivated, that you could experience, you know, be excited about what you're doing if it took a lifetime to do it? You know, think about that. Raising your children is a lifetime job. You know, I just think possibly that it was days when Noah said, I don't want to work on our ark. I don't even look at that thing today. I bet there was weeks went by that he just didn't want to work on it. He probably said, I don't want to work on it anymore. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't feel like getting out there and working on that thing. But he was persistent. And his persistence, day out and day in. Out there building, he's nailing on boards, he's shaping them into this ark, he's tarring it, day in and day out, for 120 years. I'm sure he probably said, God, I've worked on this thing for 50 years, give me my gold watch and put somebody else in my place. He didn't do it. He didn't give up. He just kept on doing what God told him to do. Kept on. He didn't give up. You know, Noah lived that and did that because he was a man of commitment. He had committed to God. He had committed to his family. And he was a man of commitment, and he never gave up. Listen, I don't know about you, but we've talked in our Bible class before. There's times when preachers just want to give up. And there's been times that I've went home from here. As wonderful as this place is, and as wonderful as you people have been to me, there has been times when I've walked from this pulpit and went home and said, Lord, I'm not going back. I'm going to call the elder and resign. Neither one of those elders ever got a call. Some way or another, God said, don't do that. You know, because you feel like, you know, you feel like you just aren't doing enough. You feel like you just want people to know God, and you just want people to be blessed. And I look around and I see some aren't, and I see some are rejecting God and so forth. And it gets discouraging sometimes. But now through the years I've learned, I'm going to be here till the Lord takes me home. You know, not here probably, but I'm going to be for the Lord, and I'm going to be somewhere, and I'm going to be doing something for the Lord. And even if I have to preach from a sick bed, I'm not going to give up because I know God. Noah knew God, and the reason he saved his family, he didn't give up. He was committed. I give him my vote. He never gave up. Every day, not only did he work on that ark, but he preached a sermon. Oh, he didn't preach in a pulpit, a church, but he preached with his life. And there's some of you fathers out there can no doubt do better than what I'm doing here as far as preaching. But you know, the best preaching that you'll ever do is out there in your daily life, before your family, before your neighbors, before the community, before your workplace, before the school, the life you live. The life you live. I just honor you, fathers, good fathers here. How wonderful it is to know good fathers. Very sad thing, and I don't like to mention this because it brings sadness even probably to some here. When a father walks out on his family, I think that's the worst thing a man can ever do. The worst thing I think a man could ever do is give up, walk out, send away his children, turn away from his family, whom God had blessed him with. Fathers, You want to vote for Noah? Let's stand. First verse only of our invitation hymn. That's what Noah said. Noah said, "Have thine own way, Lord." Thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Be seated, if you will, please, for a few moments. We got two things we need to do. And Doodle, you go on and do your thing or whatever. I failed to give the certificates to start with, and I want to do that while we're at it. But you do your thing, and then I'll do that, if you will, please.
We got three certificates for five today, oldest, youngest, and most children here. Oldest, I think, will go to Omer Noah Lee. Youngest and most children here, I think that hits home.
You going by age or feeling?
You know, that is up for discussion.
Yeah, I feel pretty young today, man.
Robert, anyone here younger than Robert? Anyone who's got, no wonder, got more than two here.
You done? Okay, we gave out our certificates for last year attendance, and we had three that we just haven't been able to get together. They're all here today, and that's Virginia and Norma Jean and Kim, is it? I believe. Let me see. I've forgotten. Yeah, Kim. All right. Can you come, Norma Jean, and so we can get your picture? They only missed three Sundays last year. We had the others that missed one. Some missed none. Norma Jean has several of these, and several of them that she never missed a Sunday. And I'm so glad of that. But you only missed three last year. Just go there. And Virginia, you've been up one and two before. And Kim, thank you all. Now, step around here so I can get your picture here. There you go. Are we done? Thank you, gals. As we said before, we appreciate every one of you. We appreciate the effort that you put forth. We know that some of you come from quite a distance, and so that's extra effort on your part. Some of you just aren't as healthy as others, and you put forth extra effort. Norma Jean demonstrates that with her wheelchair here that Donna's taken advantage of. And it would be very easy for Norma Jean to say, "Well, I'm just going to stay home. I don't feel like going," but she comes, you know. And here we are, you know, able to go and go, and sometimes we gripe about it. But isn't it wonderful? We just appreciate all you folks, and God bless you. Have a great and wonderful day. Father's Day to all you fathers out there. We appreciate your way you bring your children up. It's great. God bless you. I'm going to ask the oldest father to dismiss us today. Omer, if you will. Ask God's blessing on us as we go. Amen. Thank you. Our eldest. I don't like that word, old, do you? Our eldest, elder.